This is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And it is our goal to podcast.
Yep.
And I know this because people have now started to tell me that, oh yeah, I listen to your podcast, and your goal is to podcast.
The podcast, yeah.
And that has become especially relevant as we have, maybe, I don't know if you've been to the website recently, but it's different.
Okay.
And I kind of want to, okay, so recently, after I finished the web series, in the process of it, I've been kind of thinking in the last 6 months in my head, it's like, oh, you know, I want to kind of revamp the website. I want to do something different. I want to do the website in the way so that that way when it's like 9:30 at night on a Friday night, it's not just me as we're watching something on Netflix looking over at non-birding Bill and saying, hey, honey, can we do blah, 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 blah to the website and expecting you to do it right away? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of work for you.
Okay. How's that working out for you?
Well, I foolishly thought switching over my website from WordPress to Squarespace, oh, this is something I can do on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Which anyone who's ever worked on a website ever knows that, oh no, that's not going to be that.
Right.
And I realized about 2 hours into it that this is not going to be an afternoon. This is not even going to be a 24-hour project. This is going to be a multi-week project to get everything switched over and to get what I have in my head. And part of it is, you have run a lot of the back. It's to the point where, and people even know this now, when there's a problem with the website, yeah, you're probably going to want to, they'll email me, but they'll email and say, hey, you probably want to tell non-birding Bill XYZ.
Right.
So, and I just wanted to take that off your plate because you have other things to do. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't listen to my own. But in a lot of podcasts, you hear an advertisement for a company called Squarespace.
Right.
And they apparently advertise on everybody's podcast but this one. And so if you're like me and you've been listening to a lot of popular podcasts and they talk about, oh, Squarespace is so easy and, you know, you can set everything up. That had kind of implanted itself into my brain. And then a friend of ours who does website development recently said, hey, for all the people that have said you want to hire me for website development, just do Squarespace. I looked at the prices for Squarespace. I looked at their free 2-week trial and I thought, yes, right on. For my limited understanding of code and my lack of interest in learning more to do WordPress, this seems like something I want to do. They have a pretty reasonable monthly rate plan, and they have 24-hour customer service that they say they have, and it's a whole drag-and-drop system. I thought, this is going to be perfect for what I want to do. And I have to say, for a lot of things, it works really well. However, Squarespace is, for someone who's never had a website before, and they want to grow it from square one, it is not for someone who has had a blog for 10 years and has 10 years worth of photos and video and content, and they need to migrate that over easily. Also, Squarespace's definition of 24-hour help desk. And part of me gets it, because Squarespace is this is the ad that you're not going to hear on other podcasts about Squarespace, and we can say this because we are paying for Squarespace.
Right.
They are not paying us to advertise for them. It's been very interesting, because I've had to ask them questions, and they have a very helpful FAQ. And so I go to the FAQ, and it's like, okay, I get what that problem is. It's not the problem I'm having. And so they have this thing called a chat box, and the first 6 times that I use the Let's Chat Now feature, it said, oh, hey, all of our representatives are busy. And I was trying this at various stages of the week. So it's not like I was trying this at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night when presumably they don't have many people running a chat line. I mean, I'm trying this at like 10:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning and things like that. It, all sorts of various. Every time it's like, oh, hey, everybody on our chat is busy. Why don't you just submit an email instead? So I would submit my email and say, hey, this is the problem I'm having. And then they would just send me back to the FAQ. And the first couple of times that this happened, I was like, okay, I get this. You're used to dealing with people who don't actually read instructions and things like that. Yes, I read that. That's not what I want. So you'd have to have this whole back and forth of, yes, I've seen that FAQ. And please understand that the just because you have just done a word search for keywords in my question, it really doesn't apply to my FAQ question. And what actually the thing that cracked me up most about Squarespace was they advertise pretty heavily on podcasts. And the podcast was the part that we were having the most trouble migrating over.
Right.
And so that has ended up in a series of tears. It actually even ended up with me saying in, because after you send emails to Squarespace, and they'll send you things like, hey, was this helpful or not? And if whether it is or not, they ask you to like send questions. And so one of the last times I had a question about our podcast, I said, I highly suspect that you just have your chat help feature on for show, because I've done it 6 times. And every time it's like, yeah, we're really busy. Why don't you just send us an email? And so the next time that I tried to use the chat feature, I got someone to write, well, I got into the chat feature right away. And then it said for about 15 to 20 minutes, hey, you're number 2 in line. You're number 2 in line. You're number 2 in line. So anyway, we have things squared away. I really love the way the website looks on Squarespace.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's great for someone who knows absolutely nothing about setting up their website.
Right.
They have some kinks to work out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I agree with everything you said.
But no, for me, for me to run the website completely without you, and I know that's kind of an oxymoron right now because you have had to do quite a bit of work to help migrate things over. For me, it's like, okay, this is a template. This is what you can do in the template. You can drag and drop. You can't do anything. Mm-hmm. I work well when I have limited parameters. It's like, this is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And then to try and figure out how to, that works great for me. And drag and drop works great. And Squarespace, and it's actually the last couple of times I've sent questions to them, I've just said, please don't send me a link to your FAQ, because I've already read the FAQ and I know that's not going to work for me. And they're just like, okay, we're just going to research this a little bit and try and figure out the answer to your question. I'm like, great, I respect that. So anyway, this is the unauthorized Squarespace review from someone who's not paid by Squarespace to tell you how well it works. Anyway, the website looks different. We definitely have some kinks to work out. Right. Overall, I really like it, but we're still migrating over some of the old podcast links. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the old podcast links.
Yeah, you don't. I'm adding them as I can. You don't need Birding News from 3 years ago, folks, but I will put those up eventually.
I'm going to say I've had more than one.
You know what? You had people asking why the site doesn't look right in Internet Explorer 6 2 years ago. So that's
an
issue with your listenership.
I will say, of all the website changes we have ever done,
yeah,
this one has had the fewest complaints about the way it looks.
Mm.
And actually it really cracked me up because I know some links are breaking as it's transferring over. Right. And some of it, and there were a couple of cases where I was just kind of like going through Squarespace and it's like, hey, this blog entry didn't transfer over. And I was like, that's from 8 years ago. And that's a really stupid story that we really don't need to care about right now. Yeah. Or maybe that wasn't my best writing, or just me saying, why the heck did I decide to put that online? And I just deleted them. And then there were some things where I was like, there's broken links. And I thought, again, this is from 5, 6, 7, 8,
mm-hmm,
in one case even 10 years ago.
Right.
Who cares? And I thought to myself as I'm hitting delete on these particular blog entries or looking at broken links and thinking, who cares? And I thought to myself, I can think of one person who's going to care about this. And within 48 hours of the new website going live, I got an email from that person.
Lovely.
And I'm like, really, person? This is really old content. If someone really wants that information, they would just find it by a keyword search anyway.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about your transfer?
Yes.
Is that when I created the second version of your website, which was the WordPress, you insisted on having white text on a black background.
Yes.
And I tried for about 15 minutes to talk you out of that, and you insisted that that's what you wanted. And now that you've created your new version, you have black text on a white background. You're talking about how much more readable it is.
Okay. Let me talk about this.
I was fully expecting for you to have, like, rotating anarchy GIFs and, like, a Nickelback MIDI playing in the background to show
you
how badass.
You did not say Nickelback.
Whatever.
That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
No, so here's the thing. If it were up to me, I would still have black on white text, because I love the way that looks.
How about, like, a dripping blood GIF at the top that says what the name of your blog is?
I hate GIFs on websites. I love using gifts. I love sending people gifts. I love when you send me gifts. You send me hilarious gifts. But no, it's I just realized that I have a readership that's hard for them to read. And actually, I was reading one of the... I think I was reading a Rebecca Watson post from Skeptic, and she was complaining that she went to a website. She's like, no, you do not have white on black... white text on black background. I was like, yeah, that would be my website, all right? So I'm working on it, and I was looking at it, and I was like, God, I really hate this white background with black text. And then I found on Squarespace where I can change it to gray, and I was like, okay, I can live with that. And somebody even left a comment, was like, oh, you use that old photographer trick of using gray with your photos, and it makes everything pop. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what I did on purpose. But anyway, if I had my druthers, I would have a dark purple background with gray text because with I lavender love text. Purple. Yes.
Yeah, like you were writing in your friggin' dream journal. A lavender journal with your purple glitter pen.
But see, this is one of the things that I love about Squarespace. They have a fixed template for people like me. They're just like, I want rainbows and ponies and birds. And it's like, no. You can do it this way.
I will say it was very enjoyable for me to watch you try and figure out how to do this stuff. Even with their simplified system where it is a drag and drop system. But just to like explain to you, okay, here's why what you're asking is difficult.
Okay, here's my block with computer stuff. Right. Okay, first of all, I learned this stuff in 1992.
Sure.
So, you know, back then it was DOS. And I went into college, and my father pretty much chose what my curriculum was going to be my freshman year in college. And he insisted that I take a computer class course, which, on the one hand, it was like that was very foresight. But there was also some control issues with my father completely deciding what my curriculum was going to be my freshman year in college. So I had some rebellion issues going on, too, as well as just saying I'm... So
now I think the problem was you saw Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and you thought it was an issue of me picking up the mouse and going, computer, create.
I've traveled billions of miles, thousands.
Computer, create transparent aluminum. Bloop, bloop.
Oh, a keyboard. How quaint.
Exactly.
We have not talked about birds at all.
Why don't we talk about birds on this bird?
Wait a minute.
Podcast?
Is non-birding Bill insisting that we talk about birds? Anyway, so the website looks different, and there are going to be broken links. Feel free to tell me the broken links. Some of these I will say, yes, I will fix that. Others I will say, hey, non-birding Bill, can you fix all this stuff through some kind of CSS magic? And in other cases, I will just delete that blog post because I don't think it's relevant anymore. Anyway, thank you for everyone who's sticking with the podcast. And that is Squarespace in a nutshell. The other thing that's going on is, oh, hey, there's a Viking stadium being built in Minnesota.
Yep.
So I fully expected with the whole blog transition of me not blogging, it's like, it's going to take a while to kind of build that momentum back again. Bada bing, bada boom. You know, the Vikings just really kind of helped me kind of maintain my blog status super easy. So we have a team in Minnesota called the Minnesota Vikings. They haven't won a Super Bowl recently.
No, they have not. They don't even have a stadium right now. They're playing at the Gopher Stadium for the next 2 years.
What? But we're going to host the next Super Bowl in 2018.
The next Super Bowl in 2018?
We're going to host...
It's like the World Cup. They only have one every 4 years, and the next one is in 2018.
So anyway, you know, we live with the fact that we have to have a football. I have more interest in football than I do baseball.
Oh, yeah. Football is much more interesting to watch than baseball.
Yeah, and I love The League. That's one of my all-time favorite TV shows. Mm. And if you've never watched that, I would recommend watching it. And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't know anything about football, so why the heck would I want to watch a TV show about football? It's not about football. It's about a bunch of people who have a fantasy football league. And again, you really don't need to know that much about football.
It's completely unimportant.
But it makes football fun, and it makes you want to be part of that. But it's hilarious. It's got Paul Scheer in it, a guy named Taco. And it teaches
Jean
you...
Jean Lajoie is actually his name.
What's his name?
I think it's Jean Lajoie. He's French-Canadian. So it's L-A-J-O-I-E. So I think it's Lajoie.
Lajoie.
Yeah.
Anyway, you will learn one of the best phrases in your entire life. Is that the first or second episode?
It's the second episode. So let's get back to the actual story that we were talking about.
So anyway, I just... Okay, I'm feeling defensive because the Vikings have designed a stadium.
Yes.
We knew this was coming, and being residents of Minneapolis, we knew that our tax dollars were going to go to this whether we wanted it to or not, because we learned during the whole Twin Stadium debacle that even if you vote no as a city several times that you don't want your tax dollars going to a new stadium for some sort of sport, government officials will find a way to force you to pay for it with a special resolution allowing you to not vote on it. Anyway, so it's just like, okay, the Vikings are pandering for a new stadium. This is going to be a thing. And I don't mind for football. They came out with their design of the new stadium, and it's like a whole, it's like four football fields worth of glass on one side. And I remember when I saw the design, I thought to myself, well, that's not bird friendly. And what was really interesting was we have a sports radio station here in town called KFAN. Right. And even that radio station, who I would think knows absolutely nothing about birds, when they were doing their whole gushing, hey, the Vikings unveiled their new stadium, one of the guys on there said, oh man, that's going to kill a lot of birds. Which I thought, that's pretty good that a sports station would know that.
Very near the Mississippi River.
It's less than a mile from the Mississippi, which is a major migratory corridor. So when this was unveiled, I was like getting all hot under the collar. And I thought, you know what? I am just going to, you know, rally all my media that I have here in the Twin Cities and bitch about this. Sure. And I was talking to Minnesota Audubon because I have friends that work there. And one of them said, hey, why don't you simmer down there a little bit? Why don't you let us have a reasonable conversation with the Vikings, and let's see if we can maybe get in on this planning process and switch them to some glass that's going to be relatively bird safe.
Did they call you Little Missy?
No, because my friends at Minnesota Audubon, we have mutual respect at Minnesota Audubon. I have very good relationships with a lot of people, despite a couple of extreme people on the internet, you know. So I was like, okay, I will lay off, but if you need my help in any way, shape, or form, let me know.
Okay.
So negotiations were going on. I was hearing bits and pieces, but overall it sounded positive. And then all of a sudden last week, all hell broke loose. And I got press releases. Press releases were going everywhere. And it was basically saying Audubon had been on the table with the Minnesota Sports Authority and with the Vikings saying, hey, here's some glass you could use, probably the most economical glass you could use. And the Vikings were like, yeah, no, we're not going to do this.
Okay.
So, the thing is that the glass that Audubon proposed, it wasn't even like Ornolux. It wasn't even glass that was developed to be bird friendly. It's actually something called fritted glass. And so it has, you can, as you're manufacturing the glass, you can put patterns in it. And the patterns are designed to be energy efficient. They're designed, and you can have them be whatever you want. You can have them be subtle dots. You can have them be stripes. You can have them be very specific patterns. You could make the patterns look like the Minnesota Vikings logo. Birds can see it. We can see through it when we're inside the stadium. Mm-hmm. It might make things a tiny bit less bright. So it would be like, instead of using a Swarovski, you would be using another brand of binoculars.
Why would I do that?
I know, right? But they're not using Swarovski glass at the Viking Stadium. But anyway, so it's minimal, the difference. I shouldn't say it's minimal. But if I'm talking about Swarovski. Anyway.
Right.
The glass, anyway, they have a glass option. It would cost them $1 million, give or take, to do this, which is 0.1% of the overall Viking Stadium budget. Because the Viking Stadium is approaching the $1 billion mark.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
It's more than likely going to cross that. So the Vikings are just like, yeah, we're not going to use this glass. And we don't care if it's within 1 mile of the Mississippi River. So we're building momentum. And there's been some great momentum with it. And I just found out right before we started this podcast that the Minneapolis City Council is creating a resolution to say, hey, Vikings, you kind of actually have to do this if you're going to do this. But here's the thing that I don't understand. The glass, in the grand scheme of the Viking Stadium, is minimal.
Right.
And it's energy-efficient glass. That's what it was developed to do. Which, considering when football season is, considering what it is in Minnesota, wouldn't you rather it be energy-efficient?
Right. Well, there's actually a law in Minnesota, which I think I dug up when I was looking for news for Birding Business, which says that if you're building a new structure in Minneapolis, you have to take the environmental, not just, you know, the environmental impact in terms of what you're putting in the ground, but like how it impacts like the birds and things like that. I mean, that's like a law that we have.
Well, I think part of the issue here, because I'm kind of curious why the Vikings, especially since I happen to know that Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer is a big conservationist.
Sure.
He's really into hunting and fishing. You know, he's on board with conservation. Mm-hmm. Although I completely understand that his duty is to take care of team issues and not, you know.
Yeah, no, he's not head of office. He's the guy who's, it's not his job to build the stadium.
I don't understand. It's like, really, why?
Oh, no, I told you this before. I think that it's, you know, the Vikings have, Vikings have not had a lot of PR victories lately. They had a terrible season last year. And then they're dealing with the homophobia allegations.
You should maybe clarify what that is. Because you and I live here.
Sure. Chris Cluey, who former punter from, I think this is much better known than you think it is. Chris Cluey was a former punter for the Minnesota Vikings. He came out in favor of gay marriage and later alleged that he was fired from the team or let go from the team because he was vocally in support of gay marriage, and there were members of the coaching staff who made homophobic remarks.
Not Zimmer.
He is... I think he's currently suing the team to get them to release. The Vikings organization did an independent investigation. I think like one of their sub coaches was suspended for like 4 games or something like that. And Cluey is suing them to get them to release the report. And so I think that this is actually, this part of this might be a PR fix that they can, you know, draw attention away from that, and then later say, oh, okay, we're going to use this bird-friendly glass, and then everybody thinks...
So basically you're saying the Vikings were like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. If we say we're not going to use the bird-safe glass, and then everybody's just like, oh, Vikings are really awful, and so then, oh, wait, we are going to use this bird-safe glass, and then they're just like, oh, please don't pay attention to the Chris Cluey around them. And now I'm really torn, because... I was on board with, because the whole thing that started with Chris Cluey was that, I don't know if I can say this phrase on the podcast, but he had a quote that came out when we were debating about whether or not gay marriage should be legal in Minnesota, which it is now, which we are Bill and I are particularly happy about, because that benefits a lot of our friends, and we're down for equality. But Chris Cluey had a very infamous quote that said, hey, you know what? If you allow gay marriage, you're not going to turn into a lustful... Can I say that word?
It's your podcast.
You're not going to turn into a lustful woodcock monster. How about that?
Whatever.
And it was a quote that kind of went all over the place. And then he started speaking up more and more. He's a very funny guy. And then we have I have a personal connection, because you and I were going to a show. We were going to an NPR show called Wits that is recorded here in St. Paul. And Bill and I had tickets one night. And you realized, as you and I were at the bar waiting to get in, that you had left the tickets at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you left the bar. And I said, you know what, I'm going to stay here and have a drink till you go get the tickets and come back. And so non-birding Bill left me alone, and they sat someone down next to me at the bar, and I looked at the tattoos, and I looked at the person, and I thought to myself, I'm pretty sure that's Chris Cluey that's sitting in the same place. So I Googled Chris Cluey, and I confirmed his identification. It was as if I was confirming his primary projection. And I was like, yep, that's the same tattoo. And then I struck up a conversation, and I said, hey, FYI, I still voted against that, but I am still a lustful woodcock monster. But we had a really nice conversation. He was a super nice guy, so awesome. I'm down on board. And I'm pro football, and one of the things that irritated me about this whole Vikings thing when it first came out was that one of the news stations was pitching it as activists, birding activists against football. And it's like, you know, there are a lot of birders who like football. Granted, we don't like it as much as we like bird watching. But I have my friend Amber, who has all her bird banding equipment in her favorite football team's colors.
Didn't the Minnesota Twins have a falcon nesting at their new stadium?
Oh, that's, you know what? I'm going to talk about that. I don't care about that. Okay, so when the Twins had their brand new stadium built, there was a red-tailed hawk that was building a nest on the scoreboard.
Okay.
That nest mysteriously disappeared while it had an egg in it.
Uh-oh.
And then there was a red-tailed hawk that you can see hanging out regularly around the Twins Stadium. And then there was one night when the Twins were doing particularly bad, and a kestrel was hanging out on one of the lights, glaring down on the fields, and he was hawking for insects in the light. And so it was like, hey, it's Kirby the Kestrel. We're going to name him after Kirby Puckett, and it's great. It's awesome. And Kirby the Kestrel had his own Twitter account. You've hardly seen a Kestrel at the Twin Stadium since. No. Actually, what's really awesome is there was a couple of peregrine falcons, like, perched on the Twin Stadium, and on a slow baseball night, they aimed on that. And they're like, look, Kirby the Kestrel's back. And it's like, wow, Kirby the Kestrel is, like, three times the size he used to be, considering he's a peregrine falcon. Anyway. Yeah, anyway.
Sure. So, all right, so more on this story as it develops.
What's really cool is that the Minneapolis City Council is developing a resolution. So hopefully the Vikings, whether it be to deflect from the publicity of their homophobia or just doing the right thing, they will pick the glass that is going to kill the fewest amount of birds over Minneapolis possible. This is a really depressing podcast. Hey, you know what we need to talk about?
What?
The 2014 American Ornithologist Union Checklist Supplement just came out today.
Say, that is exciting news.
This is the day that bird watchers live for, according to the American... I'm sorry. This is the day that birders live for, according to the American Birding Association.
It's really depressing. This is a depressing podcast, if that's what birders live for.
This is like what happens. This is when you get your armchair split. So if you have been like hovering at 499 and you're trying to get to that 500 list, and you know you've seen clapper rails in various parts of North America, this is your chance to have that clapper rail split, and suddenly you have two, perhaps three different species of clapper rail, and you're well over the 500 hump.
So you haven't actually seen any more birds. You can just check more off of a list.
These are called armchair ticks, and this is why I do not list. Because I was just kind of casually glancing at it. There's a lot of hyphenation issues in this one. But no, okay, so number one, clapper rail has gone three rails. There's mangrove rail, ridgeways rail, all right, and then just garden
rail. Can you actually tell these apart without DNA analysis?
I think if you're like a hardcore maxi geek bird watcher, here we go. Recent genetic studies have looked at the relatedness. Do you know that's a word, relatedness?
Sure, why not?
Of the New World, quote, big rails, unquote. That is, we have traditionally known clapper rail and king rail. King rail was split into two species, and clapper rail split into three. So, yeah, you can... We've put the link...
say it like that all you want. It doesn't make it any more exciting.
There's been a shy albatross split. Okay, here's one of the most heartbreaking ones.
Oh boy, I don't know if I'm emotionally prepared for this.
This applies to a lot of people. Nutmeg mannequin, which you see quite a bit in pet stores.
Sure.
Has now changed to scaly-breasted munia.
Okay. I'm sure that's a sentence that makes sense to someone.
Here's one that's going to sound awesome in podcasts.
Yeah.
Blackhawks changed to Blackhawks.
Oh, they took the hyphen out?
They took the hyphen away. No!
All right.
So Black Hyphen Hawks is down. The American Ornithologist used it. The Blackhawks of the genus...
You know that there was like hours of meetings about this. That this had to go through a referendum.
I have mixed feelings about this. Scientifically, I understand this. Listing-wise, it's like, really? But then I don't want to take away... Because if this is how someone enjoys birds, is by listing. I don't want to take that enjoyment from them.
Hyphenating Blackhawk only makes sense if...
It's they're non-hyphenating it. They have taken the hyphen away.
But I mean, having the hyphen there only makes sense if there's like... You know, like something else in the name. I don't know.
Okay, this is one that directly affects me because I know I've seen this. Pallas's leaf hyphen warbler is now changed to Pallas's leaf warbler.
I can certainly see why that directly affects you and your life.
It's just the, I get the whole splitting and lumping thing, and I completely get how, but it's the hyphen thing that drives me nuts. And I have friends who are editors, and I know how this affects them, and when they're happy and when they're not happy about hyphens. But I'm just like, oh, this is why I don't list. This is. Oh, here's another really exciting thing. There are no more Bush hyphen tanagers. It's now Chlorosphingus. So it's not common hyphen Bush tanager. It's now common Chlorosphingus. It's not sooty capped Bush tanager. It's now sooty capped Chlorosphingus.
This is the stupidest thing I have ever. I think we've discussed many things on this podcast. I think this is quite possibly the stupidest thing we have discussed on this podcast. Listeners, please write in and let me know if I am wrong.
No, this is the thing. This comes out every summer. This is the thing that if you are a lister, a hard one, I don't want to like take away from somebody's listing thing. I mean, I don't get into the whole listing thing.
Oh, I completely understand listing. What I'm saying is taking like two words like bush tanager that people know and that mean something, and putting the Latin word for the bird in it. That's why not just insist everybody call the bird by the Latin name rather than by let's call it a pronounceable name.
I think what's going on here is that we're in a transition. I think the whole Linnaeus system, no, seriously, I think in the next 5 to 10 years, the whole Linnaeus system is going to be thrown out. I think this is the calm, this is like, we're just going to edge you into this. We're going to take some hyphens away. We're going to take some words away that you're comfortable with. We know all you New World birders love your tanagers. We're going to take the hyphens away. We're going to take your tanagers away. You know, all your bush tanagers, your antrachs.
I wish you guys could see Sharon's face right now, because she kind of looks like... Have you ever seen... I'm getting in trouble for saying
this. The kid catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of the Dark Crystal, like the Skeksy that like...
Yes!
She's like,
essence of
she's
janitor.
Contorting her face as if she's some sort of fairy tale witch trying to pull the soul out of your mouth. But please, continue with your little story.
Actually, I was trying to be Quentin Tarantino, if we're going to be honest.
I can see that
here.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Quentin Tarantino
with this.
Would be awesome as the kid catcher if they ever remade Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, he'd be. You know, Quentin Tarantino would be awesome on any Birds Records committee.
Oh, God. They'd never get anything done. Yeah.
Anyway, I think all these lump splits. Here's your hyphen. Here, we're taking away your hyphen. Here's a word you're familiar with. We're going to take that word away. I think that's just prepping us for the whole Linnaeus system being completely obliterated. I bet before you and I die, I would like to think that this is going to happen within 10 years, but I think there's going to be a whole new taxonomical system that we can't even comprehend. And it's going to be so crazy that even you, non-birding Bill, is going to think, no, screw that, I'm not part of it at all. And I think people will have lists that will only be maybe 100 birds long in North America.
I will not take that bet, because I already think that
this is why I don't list.
About the technological system.
Though I think with the whole stone chat, Siberian chat thing, palace warbler, I may have gained some birds, but I don't know. I actually kind of, as we were cleaning out our apartment in the last few weeks, I was trying to think, it's like, oh, maybe I should start like figuring out birds and how many I've seen. It just hurts.
All right, next story.
But listers, if you list, I admire that, and I appreciate your ability to keep track of
those.
Don't
lie to the listeners.
No, I really do. I look at them and I think that is a record-keeping system I could never do. And then I think, you know, the beauty of me forgetting that I have a really great picture of a palace's warbler is that I can see that palace's warbler again and take its picture and just be like, woohoo, I love it. Oh, hey, that's kind of a European bird. Is it a European bird? I've seen it with European birders. I should mention, I'm going to be in Bird Fair couple weeks. I'm going to be doing a digiscoping workshop, and I'm going to be doing something called a question of stork. Which I think I'm going to be doing with Bill Thompson from Birdwatchers Digest.
Is there a place where people can find this information if they are going to Bird Fair?
You know, if you Google British Bird Fair, you can do that. But here's the thing. If you are someone who is a listener of this podcast across the pond over in the UK, we are going to do a special Birds and Beers in Rutland on Friday. And we're doing it with Drunk Birder. I have to be careful because I got it confused with the Drinking Bird, who's Nate Zwick from the ABA.
The Drinking Bird? You mean that, like, the thing that wears a top hat and just dips into the water?
That's his avatar.
Okay.
But when I first posted this on social media, I said, hey, I'm doing something with Drinking Bird. And Nate Zwick was like, we are? I was like, oh, crap. No, I'm doing it with, like, a UK version of the Drinking Bird, and that's Drunk Birder. But we're going to be doing something at...
Three
Crowns in Rutland?
All right.
So we're going to have a Birds and Beers there. So if you're going to Rutland Bird Fair, I hope I see you there. If you're going, please email me beforehand and say, hey, I'm going, and tell me where we might meet. Or come to the Birds and Beers that we're having on Friday night. Birds and Beers is an informal gathering of bird watchers.
Right.
And you come there, you buy your own beer, and if you want something to eat, whatever they have there to eat, and we talk, and we meet, and we chat about birds. Or if you're going to be at Bird Fair and you have a booth, let me know what your booth is, and I will try and go see you.
All right. Next story.
You know, we have a lot of stories about crazy bird watchers, but I just don't feel like talking about them because this podcast has been going on too long.
Okay.
How long has this podcast been going?
We're a little over the half hour mark, but we can wrap it up because I got to upload this and make sure that the new system works.
So let's just say this is a test for the new system.
Okay. Do you have anything to say before I give the wrap up?
We're going to be in London. Some people have asked for having a Birds and Beers there.
You just said that you were.
I said I was going to be in Rutland. Rutland is not London.
Well, that's up to you. I'm going to have my own plans. We're only going to be there together for about 3 days. So
we're going to be there for a long time, but together we're going to be there not very long.
Right.
Non-birding Bill is not coming to the Rutland Birds and Beers.
Nope.
Because you're going to be here.
Yep.
In Minneapolis.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the Bird Chick Podcast. Hopefully you will be able to download. That's the other thing I didn't like about Squarespace is that their podcasting system, you can't download the podcast from the website itself. You can listen to it, but you can't download the MP3,
which I thought was a drag. I'm sorry. I just tried to do this because I thought it looked pretty, and all the other podcasts said Squarespace was easy to use.
Yep. Anyway, so if you have any questions for Sharon, you can talk to her on Twitter, where she is at Birdchick. You can email her at Sharon@Birdchick. And we will be back sooner rather than later. Take care. Bye-bye.